All right.
Well, after our service on May 5th, I flew to Memphis that evening for my other job. Now, I was supposed to meet my coworkers out there Monday morning. Had the week all lined up. It was just going to be just wonderful. Those of you that may know my other job, I'm a nurse educator for a company that sells heart monitors. I also, part of the job, I work with the hospitals to help line things up. And one of our customers in Memphis is, they opened up a 9-story, 450,000 square foot hospital, which is huge. This was the largest project I'd ever been in charge of. And I got to admit, I had worked hard for months, and I was expecting a couple of damn boys. Good job. Anyway, go to bed Sunday night. Everything's looking good. Got my uniform all ironed up. Well, supposed to be out there Monday through Wednesday. It was going to be just wonderful. And now I was going to have my surgery on Thursday, home the triumphant hero. However, 2 o'clock in the morning, in a hotel room 800 miles from home, I woke up feeling like someone was stabbing me all across the back. It was a pain that I knew. It was a kidney stone. I'd had no signs of it beforehand. I'd had a stone 2 or 3 years ago. I was sitting there, and I carried some medicine along with me. I took it, didn't do any good. Prayed. Pain kept coming. Finally, after about an hour before I was supposed to go to the hospital, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I tried to get in the shower, shaving with a kidney stone, which I don't ever recommend. There were several parts of that Monday morning that showed I wasn't the brightest light on the Christmas tree chain. Shaving, brand new razor, that didn't go well. Got my uniform on, and I knew there was just no way. I called my coworkers and I said, I gotta go to emergency room. There was one about 7 miles away. I drove. Another idiot maneuver. Thankfully, Memphis was clear at that point in time. I was about an hour before rush hour. Got there. Pain was worse. I was covered in sweat. It literally looked like one of those scenes out of the comedy movie where someone says, calm down, they pour a bucket of water on you. That was me. Get there. Thankfully, there are only about 2 people in the ER. This lady didn't know if I was coming off drugs or having a heart attack because I looked like both. I was seen and medicated, scanned, and came up with about a 0.5-centimeter kidney stone. Called my boss. She let me fly home that day and had to fly home that evening. 800 miles with a kidney stone in a cramped seat. It was wonderful. It was just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Because I found out later, my stone had 2 hooks on it. It literally had a hook like this and a hook like that, and it was flat. So as it floats in the little tube going down to the kidney, it hooks. It was fun. It was so much fun, especially when their pressure changes. And so I finally get home. I get to Charlotte from Memphis. I'm talking to Lisa, and she's like, I will come get you. And I'm thinking, no. Now I thought about it. Doofus, you've been taking pain medicine all day. Okay, come get me. Didn't get home till 11 o'clock that night, and that was to the airport. Lisa picked me up. My week in flames, like Rome burning. Pain medicine stupid, and self-pity. All of it. We go, I see a urologist on Wednesday. I got medicine you take. I've got surgery on Thursday. Can't take the medicine because it would affect my bleeding time. Gushing blood from my arm probably wouldn't have been a good thing. So I basically had to suck it up and said I could take it a few days afterwards. Had surgery on Thursday. Take my medicine that morning, my pain medicine, which is pretty stout. Get ready to go, stone starts moving. Halfway between home and Greenwood, Lisa had to stop. I had to get out and just walk around the car like a shark circling a cage. Finally get down there. Surgeon's running 2 hours behind. I'm there. I am writhing in pain on that stretcher, just rolling around. Anesthesiologist comes out. I don't think we're going to be able to do this. Okay, you don't understand. I've done got my leave set up. I've got all this tons of paperwork done. Couldn't cancel the surgery. Couldn't. And I said, you numb the arm up. Then when I get to talking too much, you shoot me full of something. Just make sure I'm breathing. That's all. Keep me between the yellow lines, I think, is exactly what I said. Well, anyway, I begged and begged and begged, and he finally did it. Then, that evening, I hear from my coworkers out of Memphis, everything went great. Not one single complaint. No mention of the 5 months' worth of work and the 12-hour days I did on it, week in, week out, week in, week out, because this project was something different. A lot of our projects, we can go out for a week and do nothing but get stuff ready. No. I had to go out and work at other hospitals in the area, then come there in my time to get this done. So I'm glad it went well, but I wasn't thrilled that I wasn't there to get the way to goes and the well done's. And I'm just being honest with you. I wish I could get up there, come up here and say, it's just all about the final product. Nah, I was being a little pissy about it. I was just like, I don't believe this, that this is happening. Anyway, get down there. Surgery's done. I hear everything went wonderful. Great. Just wonderful. After the surgery, my arm was completely dead. He didn't numb it. He deadened it. It was literally, I had to wear a sling. And those of you may not know, I'm left-handed. I have a good woman, the fact that I don't have two of these. Because she could have easily broken my arm over the last week. I wouldn't have blamed her. Because I have not been an easy person to live with. Then Sunday evening, I had this point every day while I had this stone that you could feel it move. Sunday, it didn't stop. It was stuck. And I had to go to the emergency room. That was part of the reason why I wasn't able to be here Sunday. Because it started moving Sunday. It stopped, then it started again. I was finally to the point that I could take the medicine the urologist wanted to give me. It helped with the inflammation, helped finally settle it down. I thought I was croaking Sunday night. And I know probably some of y'all are like, I just suck it up, Cupcake. It's a kidney stone. But from my perception, it was very, very painful. Anyway, Tuesday morning, I had an appointment to get this thing taken out, the kidney stone, at 11. I get out of the shower, 8:30. I then drink 2 cups of coffee and a couple bottles of Gatorade, and which is that's the way we live, roll with kidney stones, Kim. And it passed. Those were my 8 days. Now, after that, I stopped taking pain medicine, and I got to experience a nice withdrawal for about 2 or 3 days. I had never taken pain medicine that long or that much of it, and it was a horrific withdrawal. There were times I couldn't sleep, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I finally got back to myself Friday. And it was a rough 8 days for me and Lisa and Braden all. I reflected on those days. I realized I really questioned God a lot during that time. I didn't understand why I was still hurting after praying. Didn't understand why relief hadn't come. And I realized, I'm not alone in this. Why? Why didn't God answer your prayers when you want them? Made me start looking at scripture related to God's timing. I found the verses we're looking at today in the book of Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes comes from a Greek word. It's a person that calls an assembly. I didn't know this till this week. The author's never identified, but most people think Solomon wrote it. Which means this, Solomon is an interesting figure. He's one of the figures in the Bible that can be confirmed outside the Bible. There is a tablet that was found in modern day Iraq 3,000 years old now. It confirmed Solomon. It actually had Solomon written on it, and it had his death, which could be confirmed. It was translated in modern calendar. He died 931 years before Christ. Well, it's Solomon, and if you look at it, it makes sense. Ecclesiastes, for anyone that's ever really looked at it, it's somebody that's had a long life. Somebody's had a really long life, and they looked at things in a... It's a really human way of looking at things, but in the end, it's all about God. It is all about the rule and reign of God in this world. And I found the verses in it, they speak to people that really have more than their share of pain, especially these verses. And we're looking at chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Verse 1, there's an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every event under the heaven. There's a lady, her name's Corey Ten Boom, and she's an evangelist. She lived during World War I, and she was in Belgium, Denmark. Anyway, they were fighting. There were airplanes going over. She heard her sister in the kitchen while all this stuff was going on. She runs to the kitchen. Her sister's in there. They have tea while the bombing and all that's going on. She goes back in. There's a 10-inch piece of metal stuck right where her pillow was at. And she told her sister, Betsy, "Betsy, if I hadn't heard you in the kitchen," but Betsy put a finger on my mouth and said, "Don't say it, Corey. There are no ifs in God's world. There are no places that are safer than other places. The center of His will is our only safety. Oh, Corey, let me pray that we always know that." You know that kind of peace in your life? At times I don't. Let me ask you something in your life. Have you ever found yourself wondering what if or why? I do. Sometimes we wonder why God doesn't answer our prayers when we ask Him to. I was wondering that. Monday morning about 3 o'clock, as I felt like I was being stabbed, I was really wondering that. How many of you ever prayed for something and your prayer went unanswered? Or just wasn't answered in the way you thought it was supposed to be? All of us. All of us, if we're really honest. And you start to wonder about God's timing. I sure was. Because my timing, Monday morning would have been fine to have passed that stone, been done with it. And you ask, why didn't God answer my prayer? I did. Do I not have enough faith? That crossed my mind. Doesn't God care about my problems and how I'm feeling? And we ask all those questions. We all do during those dark times in our lives. Answers? I wish I had all the answers. I don't. There are some tough questions. But there's stuff to answer. The Bible can answer for us, though. God's timing is very deliberate. It's very sovereign. That means He's in total control. An appointed time for everything. Not most things. Not things we expect to happen. Not 99% of things. Everything. That's hard to swallow sometimes. It was very hard for me to swallow during wherever I was. Really, I was wondering where He was at. There's plenty of time on God's timetable for everything. It's so hard to live with that in mind. But I think it can make a world of difference. I started looking at things in a little different perspective. Make those unanswered prayers a little easier to cope with, and it can make those dark places a little less dark. There's so much darkness in this world, and there's an enemy that tries to make every aspect of your life darker. Another thing about God's timing, it's always sufficient. Maybe in a place right now where you're wondering if God's ever going to show up. I was there on that bed, that hotel in Memphis, laying across two different beds, piling up pillows, everything I could think of. Maybe your pain, your marriage is in trouble, your job's in trouble. You're really sick and there ain't no hope. Maybe you're chained to a bottle of pills or a bottle of alcohol. Whatever your situation is, I can't promise you God's going to answer your prayer in the way that you want Him to, but I can promise you'll make it through if you hold on to Him. I started thinking back on my 8 days, and I realized I was blessed that Monday morning. How many of us have ever had spent all day in an emergency room? I have. When I was writing this, I started realizing I was seen within 10 minutes of getting to the emergency room. I was had an IV in me, doctor saw me, Medicaid, scanned, given prescriptions, had relieved, all that, copy of the disc, 3 hours. This was in Tennessee. Nobody knew me there. They did not know who I was. Because sometimes, well, you're a nurse and you know this and that. I'm 800 miles away, it don't matter. They just knew I was some dude coming in with a German name on my shirt. 3 hours. God was there, and he was moving. I didn't recognize it, but he was there, and his timing was very sufficient for me. Verse says there's a time for every activity under heaven, everything. God has time for everything. He's going to take care of you and everything. Not 99%. He'll be there with you for all of it. The next 7 verses talk about birth and death, killing and healing, tearing down, building up, how we weep, we laugh. Mourning, celebrating, scattering and gathering, embracing and refraining. Notice the pattern with all this? All these seasons that the Bible describes are opposites. And they're all seasonal. They really are. There's a time for it. It's not about picking up stones and throwing them back. These passages are describing the different seasons of life. And life does come in seasons. It's not just one long, monotonous grind. Think about times in our lives. There are times where you just touch it and it basically turns to gold. Then there are other times you touch it and it turns to something else. Compost and mulch. I've had both. There's seasons. There's seasons where we gain people in our lives and there's seasons where we lose. There's seasons with it. And Sunday, I was doing great. Had the whole week planned out. Was just saying, this is it. Second largest project since I have been at this company. In charge of it, 5 months. Almost about to give a Ric Flair. Woo! And then 12 hours later, boom! I am just on the bed being a serious cupcake. Very serious. Key to really living a full life, though, catch on to what God's doing in your life during each season. A lot of that's in hindsight. There's a period of time that God, season of time, I'm going to do something in your life. Now I'm going to go on, I'm going to do something else. God isn't saying he's leaving us, but he's adapting to the plans he has for us. It's hard to think about God's plan and timing in our sense of time and the way we look at life because we are linear. We're very much, this minute is gone. It will never happen again. God was, God is to be. And that's hard for us to conceive that God has pretty well our conception to our end. And it's hard to live, like when the tide comes in and everything's good, that's wonderful. And it's easy to live in that. When the tide goes out and you're left there with a bunch of sand and seashells and nothing else, it's hard. It's very hard to hang on to that. Some of you know I'm working towards becoming ordained. I'm taking online classes and I found out earlier in the year because it's a combination of taking classes and time as a lead pastor. to be recognized by the Nazarenes. And they only meet like once a year. And it's in July. I was installed as pastor September 2017. I had to have 3 years. So I was thinking, okay, I will be ordained. I'll be finished with my classes next year. Next spring, boom. No, you're 2 months shy. Really. So I did not have the season I wanted. And I stuck my lip out a little bit about it. Reason why. Right here. I was supposed to have had a class these last 2 or 3 weeks. If I had had one, I would have had to withdraw. There was a timing for it. There was a reason for it. I didn't know. I had no idea. But I'll still finish up, and in 2021, I'll be ordained. I'll be finished with this. But it did not feel good, but God was there. God knew it better than I did. God saw this trouble coming. He knew I wouldn't be able to maintain the pace I was keeping. I was taking the class every 6 weeks to try and get this done. And he took the pressure off of me. I didn't even see it, though. Just like in our lives, if we're not living in his timing, we're not ready to grab hold when his tide may come in. And he may be ready to start something, and if we don't recognize it, it's not that he keeps things here. God's always dynamic. He's moving in and out. And we have missed that season. And if we're not willing to change when God says change, he's going to go on for a while, and he's going to find somebody that will. People or churches. And after a while, he'll come back and season renewance. All right. Ready to go? I want you to do this now. If we're not willing to grab hold of that, he'll move on. So in our lives, we have to be willing to move when God says move and be still when he says be still. The moving part never really bothered me much. That being still part, I have to work on. I still have to work on. I'm just being very honest. How many of us want to fix our own messes? I do. Being still is very hard. And recognizing God. One more thing about God's timing. It can be surprising. Very surprising. Was not always ready for it. That was an understatement if I ever wrote one. We can usually think of 1,000 reasons why we're not ready to do this. God says move. How many times in our lives have we been able to come up with a whole list? God can't do it right now. I just can't make it happen right now. Can you come back on Tuesday? That would be so much better. It don't work out like that. And look, like through those verses, I realize we also have a very creative God that literally thought outside the box and thinks outside the box. And how many of us have ever tried to outguess God? How'd that come out for you? It did not come out very well for me. And how many of us have thought we have better plans than God and we just need him just to listen? I got this. You just confirm it. I got it. Yeah. For my 8-day ordeal, I realized God had everything under control. His timing was fine. Mine stuck up the room. Any point in time in this, I had 2 ER visits, 3 hours apiece. One was a local ER visit. That's not a coincidence. That is the grace of God. That stone could have completely blocked up my ureter, could have messed up my kidney. It did not. This surgery could have been canceled. Everything that I had worked for, the leave and all that, could have went kablooey. Everything that happened in Memphis could have made a mess of things. It went well. That was the main thing. Mine, and I realized it ain't my spotlight. It's never supposed to be my spotlight. It's nice to have a little shine on it, but it was not mine. And it never should be. And I'll be honest with you. If I ever get up here and I start talking about I and me and it, there's not the words messed up, did this, did something wrong with it. There's something wrong with me. But this is God. I mean, but it's God. It's God's timing. And I realize some need to stop trying to be God. He got it. He's got it. Just learn how to live and move and be still with his timing for me. How? Study the movement of God's timing. Seize the moment of God's timing. And how you do that? How do we recognize God? How do we recognize his hand? Sometimes it's in hindsight. But how do we know what is from God and what's from the world? It all comes back to this. Prayer, word, relationship with Jesus. It all comes back to this. This is a spiritual hearing aid. This is a spiritual set of glasses. We look at God's movements from here. We see them in everyday life. We pray about them. We pray about God's timing. We pray about his plans for us. We seek his will for us. And if you find the Bible you have is difficult to read, buy an easier to understand version. There are some people who get really hung up on the versions of the Bible. And I think they're missing the point. We all read at different levels. We understand at different levels. The King James Version, I'm not knocking it, but it can be hard to understand. I read the English Standard Version. I read about two or three different versions of it. But I don't care if it's a comic book or if you have to have it on voice. Whatever you can. It won't touch your heart till it gets in your mind. It will not touch your heart if it does not get in your mind. How many of us make time for binging? I did. Over the weekend when I was like doped up on pain pills, I think Lisa was keeping me pacified, so we binge watched a show. And I was, it was kind of like the modern day Barney for grown up guys. And just to turn it on and, okay. But we found time for that. How many of us find time to spend time in the Word? How are we going to know what God's plans are if we don't recognize and we don't know how he moves? Mind, heart, they're connected. What you're putting in here goes in here. Expect him to speak to you. You've heard me talk other times about how I've had things laid on my heart. I'm not special. God and the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us in one way or another. It may be an urging. It may be something that you have noticed that you've seen a thousand times, but special one day. Vary the pattern of time with God. Get in the habit, don't get in a rut. If you're not able to do it in the morning, pray to him on your way to work. Listen to something on your phone, DVD, whatever. Open your heart up to God's teaching. There are a lot of people that know this Bible, but they don't open their heart up to God. The best Christians I've ever seen could barely read, but they had a heart for God, an ear for prayer, and a heart for learning and listening. And there are people that have fancy ones of those that can tell you everything in it that's in church every Sunday. And they're going to bust hell wide open because they have not. It stops right here. It don't go right here. Take notes if you need to. There ain't no shame in it. Mark this thing up. Because a clean Bible and going to hell, it don't matter how clean your Bible is. Mark it up. Note it up. Don't defile it. But use it. Obey God's word and his will. And if you don't know what his will is for you, seek it. Ask him. Notice opportunities to apply what you've learned. In nursing, have a saying, see one, do one, teach one. How do we get better in things? We see it, we do it, we teach it. And that's work skills. That's whatever. And some people will feel, they feel really awkward about talking about Jesus. Talk about you. Talk about what Jesus has done in your life. You don't have to talk theology. Talk about your life experiences. Have a heart for caring, a heart for Jesus, and ears for listening. Holy Spirit will take it from there. You're in some season of your life right now. I don't know what it is. Only you and God do. And God comes at certain times during these seasons, and he talks to you about certain things. I'm telling you this morning, when God speaks to you, no matter what season you may be in, you don't only listen. You need to respond. You need to talk to him. Maybe you've never really started your relationship with him. By acknowledging Jesus as the ruler of your life, you need to talk to God during this season. You don't know what the next season brings. There's a time to birth. There's a time to die. We look at people every week on this screen or in that prayer list that are our age or younger. Some of them are not here anymore. Some of them are battling life-threatening conditions. God's speaking to you. He's saying something to you. Answer him. Y'all, we're going to stand for prayer, and then the altars will be open and songs will be playing. I'm going to get everybody to stand with me, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, we are all going through seasons in our lives. Father, some of us, it's hard to hear you. We don't see you. We don't feel you. And Father, we're going through dark times. Some of the seasons are bad. Some of our seasons are good. Father, help us to seek you. Help us to see what you're doing in our lives. Father, help us to understand what we need to be doing, whether it's to take action or be still. And Father, through it all, help us to give you praise because you are working in our lives. And Father, help us to understand what we need to be doing. Father, there are those around us that are walking in darkness, that when they leave this world, they will go to hell because they do not know you. Father, when we come before you, what are you going to say to us about those people? Father, were you speaking to us to speak to them? Help us to understand your plans for us, to fulfill those plans for you, and help us to be pleasing and right in your eyes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Altars are open.